Hi, it's Jacinta Parsons from ABC Radio Melbourne from the afternoon show. Today we had a really interesting conversation about the death of the Fitzroy Football Club, and we heard from so many people about their memories of this much-loved footy club. Feel. Feelings. I think one of the greatest, some of the great memories of my life are singing the theme song to the Geelong Footy Club. When we win, I think that's all I sometimes go to the footy for, is the opportunity to sing that song. They are powerful. They're emotional. The Fitzroy Football Club. We're going to talk to the author of The Death of the Fitzroy Football Club. And in fact, we've just received a phone call from Joan, who joins us. Good afternoon, Joan.
G'day, Jacinta. How are you going?
Joan, yes. You've just called us and I've just had a look.
I did.
I'm so excited that you're here. I'm going to introduce
Thank you
properly. Joan, the president of the Fitzroy Football Club, here to refute the claim that there has been any death at all.
Yeah, no, there hasn't been any death. But in fairness to Russell, and a shout out to him and his book, he presents a really interesting, I've only just read a bit of a summation of it, Jacinta, but he's really talking about the death of Fitzroy as an AFL club here in Melbourne.
Yeah.
You know, we went through all that terrible pain, of course, and I'm conscious a lot of our Fitzroy supporters now are old Fitzroy supporters who love coming down to Brunswick Street Oval and see the boys and girls of Fitzroy run around, but also and many of them are also Brisbane Lions supporters. So, you know, we're conscious that time was a very difficult time for a lot of our supporters. But we, the Fitzroy Football Club, never stopped existing as a legal entity, Jacinta. The president, the fabulous chair at the time, Dyson Hall Lacey, and vice chair, Elaine Finlay, big shout out to both of them. They kept the club going, and the rest of the board of the Fitzroy Football Club kept the football club going as a legal entity, even though they lost their football team in Fitzroy in the AFL. So because of that, we've been able to, you know, we've effectively been able to survive. And football returned, senior football returned in the Fitzroy jumper to the Brunswick Street Oval in 1998 with the Melbourne University Reds.
How emotional was that moment?
That was terrific. I mean, the University Reds did an amazing job by approaching Fitzroy and asking permission to wear the FFC when there was an opportunity to play back at the famous ground that had been closed since the late 60s, you know, to footy. And then the Fitzroy Football Club officially merged with the Reds in 2008. So 2009 was probably the really emotional day when the Fitzroy Football Club returned in its own right back at BSO Jacinta. I think we might have had a couple thousand people at the ground that day. It was pretty amazing. And I guess the 10 years since has just seen the club grow from strength to strength. We've now got two senior women's teams as well as our five men's senior teams. And, of course, a lot of people would be aware of the amazing Fitzroy Junior Football Club, which has got about 30 junior teams. And doing extremely well. So it's a... you know, there was a lot of pain and sadness in the story, but there's a lot of joy in the story. And I think the founding fathers and mothers of Fitzroy back in the late 80s would be really proud to see that the football club's actually returned to its roots and to the ground, you know, where they first played the game in 1885.
There's a text here, three words, go Joan Eddy. And I've looked you up, Joan, while we've been talking. And you can...
That was a bit naughty.
No, and you have been in service to that Fitzroy Football Club now for 20 years, and you've received many awards for your contribution at the level that you have in terms of your commitment to the community, not only the footy. And it was you dropping your son off in the year after 1996, for Auskick, that the love affair began.
Yep, just as a five-year-old, took him down to the local Auskick at Fitzroy Carlton Auskick as it was then, in the back oval, because the little ones were at Alfred Crescent. But yes, my life changed dramatically from that day forward.
Well, yeah. Thank you. I feel a bit pumped that we have you on the phone, Joan. We're going to be talking, as you said, to Russell, who's written the book, yes. The Death of the Fitzroy Football Club. And, of course, we really need to be clear that's the death of the football club as it pertains to its, you know, AFL status. But it's a strong footy club under your guidance, and good on you and congratulations.
And a wonderful board. And Jacinda, just a shout out, tell people to jump onto the Fitzroy Football Club website. Easy peasy, www.fitzroyfc.com.au, and just have a bit of a look and find out what the club's doing in 2020.
Good on you.
It's fantastic.
So good to talk to you. Thank you very much for giving us a call this afternoon.
And go Roys.
Go Roys. I'm not going to say that. Shush. Good on you, Joan. Thanks for joining us this afternoon. We will be talking to Russell Holmesby in just a moment about his book.
On ABC Radio Melbourne and Victoria, you're with Jacinta Parsons.
Very, very happy to be joined by Russell Holmesby. He's an acclaimed football historian. He's written about his own beloved St Kilda Football Club much, but he's turned his attention to the Fitzroy Football Club and the death of its AFL life back in 1996. Russell, good afternoon to you.
G'day, Jacinta. How are you going?
Well, we've built a whole show on thinking about Fitzroy Football Club this afternoon. Footy, it means more to us than I think we realise. And the opening of this book, you talk about people do not understand what it's like to lose a footy club unless they've gone through it.
Well, that's right. And as you said, I'm a St Kilda barracker, and St Kilda's sailed pretty close to the wind on a fair few occasions over the last 40 or so years. So I can sort of relate to what it's like when your club's under threat. And I, going through and researching this book, you're filled with sympathy for those Fitzroy fans who saw their club just disappear from the AFL scene.
One of the aspects of this that you discuss, and it has been discussed, I guess, a lot, is perhaps it should never have happened. It's a cautionary tale. And it is that sense of it being an unnecessary loss, perhaps, that is still fueling this painful memory.
Well, I said in the intro to the book last year, I was speaking to Greg Ball. From The Age, and I was telling him what the book I was doing, and he said, yeah, it could be a manual for how not to treat a financially struggling club. And, so there's lessons for today. And obviously, situation was different in the past, but there are some parallels with today's situation where, clubs are under threat, no doubt. And there's a few points in there that really strike home. And I mean, and to lose your club, I mean, there's still people mourning this club 24 years after it played its last AFL game. And I just wonder whether if, say, a Gold Coast or a GWS was to fall by the wayside, whether, after 4 or 5 years' time, anyone would be mourning them as the Fitzroy Barrackers do mourn Fitzroy.
Because clubs were representative of your suburbs and of what that meant to you, and it was more than footy. It still is more than footy.
Oh yeah, and it's a tribal thing. I mean, we all like to be part of a group, and that's human nature, and we found that out in recent times, obviously, with the isolation, and we like to be part of a group and identify with a group and a tribe, if you like, And that's what, Fitzroy, the spirit of Fitzroy was fantastic. And while, the end of the story is a sad one, but we cover the 20 years up till 1996. And, it's not just about all gloom and doom either. I mean, there was plenty of great moments in those 20 years. Fitzroy had some fantastic players and fantastic teams and, with a bit of luck, could have made a couple of grand finals in the 80s. And it's not just all gloom and doom. We spoke to all those stars, all those coaches, and, we got some great recollections. And there's a fair bit of humour in it too.
Russell, it is a beautiful example of what a great oral history can do. This book, if you're going to pick it up, you'll find that it is filled with the names of all the players throughout, as you say. I mean, and I don't mean players, I mean players in the events surrounding the Fitzroy Football Club, in their own words. It must have been a really interesting way to construct this book, to hear from all the different aspects and perspectives around what happened.
Well, it was. I mean, I was editor of Inside Football magazine for about 19 years, and Inside Footy folded a couple of years ago. But each week we interviewed past players from all clubs, and we had within that we had about 35 former Fitzroy players or coaches. We did another 35, 40 interviews on top of those. So we had a really wide range of people, and got real insights into what made the club tick, and you know why it ended up going down the track that it did, and that you know the variety of those insights is what makes the book.
We've had already quite a bit of speculation, and you touch on it in the book as well, around. Well, the AFL didn't want that many local teams here in Victoria, and they were quite happy to see the demise of the Fitzroy Football Club.
Well, even after the Fitzroy merger and that, you know, there was the attempt to merge Melbourne and Hawthorn. I mean, before that, but earlier in 1989, that there was an attempt to merge Footscray and Fitzroy, and we all know that that. That was brought down by fan reaction, and Footscray saved their club, and the Western Bulldogs as they are today. And funnily enough, the Western Bulldogs are now one of those half a dozen league clubs who could financially stand on their own without AFL help. But one thing, I suppose, too, the one difference in that era, and well, there wasn't an inclination to save Fitzroy, they were trying to be channeled along a certain direction, but there wasn't the money in terms of AFL money like there is with the TV broadcast rights. And of course they didn't have the money. Ross Oakley says they didn't have the money to bail out the club, but the thing is they didn't have the inclination or the want to bail out the club.
And that's very crucial to this conversation. We talked about the love of this football club and what football means. This text pretty much exemplifies it. It's from Louise saying, we had the Fitzroy theme song playing at my mum's funeral last year as we carried her coffin out of the church. The priest commented that footy was another religion. I only saw my mother, Eileen, cry once, or Aileen, I should say, and that was at the death of Fitzroy.
Well, and I mean, a lot of people feel like that and have got similar recollections. I mean, the final game that they played in the AFL, unfortunately, was over in Western Australia, and they tried to change it to have it played here. And to Fremantle Footy Club's credit, and a lot of people said this in the book, that they did as much as they could over there, and the singing, and you can see on YouTube, you know, the lady standing on top of the grandstand singing the song and this sort of thing. So, but it was a tacky sort of end in a lot of ways, because it wasn't in Victoria, which is their home state. So obviously, you know, most people couldn't get over there to see that final game.
I remember the night here in Melbourne, though, there was people heading down to Fitzroy from everywhere.
And, you know, they flocked to the ground, and it's the old Brunswick Street Oval, which, of course, they hadn't actually been their home ground since 1966. And that was home. And in preparing for this book, I actually saw that last game as a kid. I was at St Kilda Barracker, as I said, and they played Fitzroy in that last game in 1966. But we, in writing this book, and you know, last year, myself and a friend, we went out just having a look around Fitzroy to get a feel of the place, and sat in the old stand, which has been restored. Fitzroy Reds, of course, as you said, play there now, and it was great, and just the atmosphere, and you can sort of conjure up the memories as you sit there looking out on the ground.
We've got so many calls this afternoon, Russell. You've definitely scratched still something that we pine for a lot. This text here from Rob in Essendon: I still pine for my beloved Fitzroy. Can the Roys. Patricia in Brighton, you've got an interesting connection.
Yes, I have, Jacinta. My father, Jack Sexton, captain and coached Fitzroy, 1933-34. So I guess I'm about the oldest Fitzroy supporter still standing.
Russell. I mean, the history is deep, isn't it?
Well, that's right, and it goes through bloodlines, and obviously in that case, Jack Sexton, famous player for them and coach, it goes right back through that and those family connections. And you find, a lot of people, those family connections are what make them barrack for a club. In my case, with St Kilda, my father came across from Adelaide with his family when he was 10. That was back in 1928, and he barracked for St Kilda, so then he took me along. And that's the same with Fitzroy and the same with all these other suburban clubs that, it goes back across generations.
Patricia, did you ever see him play?
Oh, yes, I did. We grew up with Chicken Smallhorn and Doug Nichols and Hayden Bunton, and I remember those names. My father came back to Adelaide to captain and coach the mighty Norwood Redlegs. He had a chill, and that developed into pleurisy and then pneumonia.
Oh.
And he died in 1935. He was 29.
Oh, that's just so sad, Patricia.
Yes, it is.
And what does the Fitzroy Footy Club mean to you?
Well, I think I was brought up with it all the time. I can't remember very much. We've just moved to Victoria from Adelaide to be near our family. But I knew that our house was always busy. My mother did her very best to tell us all she could about Fitzroy and my father playing. But I can remember when Doug Nichols came to Fitzroy. I was only a small child. He'd come down from the Northern Territory and he was very homesick. So my father said, "I've got a player, he's not happy." So my mother said, "Just bring him home here, Jack." So he lived with our family.
Wow, that's incredible. What an amazing history you have with the club and with footy and with all of those, iconic players.
Yes, it is. And, people now that realise that my maiden name was Sexton, I still get people saying, "I remember your father playing."
Oh, that's so beautiful, Patricia.
Yes, it's lovely. I've grown up with it all my life, and it's there's just something about football.
Oh, you couldn't have said it better. It's so great to hear from you this afternoon. Thank you for your call.
You're very welcome.
We've been talking about the Fitzroy Footy Club, and it's been wonderful to have all of your memories. We've been speaking to Russell Holmesby. And if you don't mind indulging us for a moment, Russell, a lot of us have got great memories, including Gary here, who joins us from the sunny suburb of Sunbury. Good afternoon, Gary.
Hi, good afternoon, Jacinta.
You've got a great bit of history of the Fitzroy Footy Club.
Well, yes, my late uncle, Harold Jackson, was the last timekeeper at the Fitzroy Football Club. And to this day, I still have the two time clocks that he used to time out the matches. In those days, the timekeepers had to provide their own clocks.
Where was this again, Gary? What era?
Oh, this was back towards the end of the time of the club in Melbourne.
Right, so right up to 96?
Yes, I think so, yes. I'm not a Fitzroy football club follower myself, but I'm pretty sure that would be about the time. And, the clocks are very basic. They're mechanical wind-up clocks. They're not much bigger than an alarm clock you would have had on your dressing table back in the 1970s or 60s. And they run for 60 minutes. So
wow.
One of them was to time the 25 minutes of the quarter. The other one was to time the every time the play pulled up, so a goal kicked, a free kick given, and that would be added on to the 25 minutes at the end, and that was the time on clock. And he had those in a nice little box, which he treasured. And when he stopped doing that, when Fitzroy moved on, he gave them to my father, his brother-in-law. He no longer required them, and my father used to collect clocks and watches. And they eventually came to me, so I still have them.
It's a great thing to have, Gary. Thank you for that this afternoon.
Not at all. You're welcome.
Good on you, Gary. Is that the sort of stuff, Russell, that you're encountering, people with these beautiful memories of this footy club and holding on to some of those trinkets and those aspects of the footy club and the game that really mean a lot to us now?
Well, that's right, and it's a great piece of memorabilia. That, as was someone said before about the one of the signs from the scoreboard. In one of the pubs that we visited in Fitzroy, they managed to get It was at Fitzroy Football Ground was the writing on it, and that was that had originally been fixed to the corner of the ground outside the wall, the brick wall outside the ground. And so it's amazing the stuff that is out there. And I always say to people that you know, if they don't know what to do with some of that material, donate it to the Museum of Sport at the MCG, because they really do look after things. And there's nothing worse than hearing about saying, "Oh yeah, we had that, but oh, it must have got thrown out or whatever," you know. And
yes,
you know, that's it's an important thing to keep, and important, you know, people relate to solid items like the time clocks and those sort of things.
Absolutely. Russell, we spoke to Patricia, the daughter of Jack Sexton, earlier in the show. Mm. And we've got another child, grandchild of one of the great players of Fitzroy. Kay joins us. Good afternoon, Kay.
G'day.
Who were you related to?
My grandfather was, I think it was about 1906-07. He was the captain of the cricket club and also the football club. And
what was his name?
They all rode pushbikes to the ground.
And
Robert William Warne, W-A-W-N.
All right, yeah. And so have you got any sort of memorabilia that he left to, you know, to the family down the line?
Yes, I've got it. There's some plaques and, of course, all hand-engraved. And there were things like given from the boot trade.
Fitzroy in the first 10 years of the VFL as it was then, Fitzroy was one of the real power clubs. I think in the first decade they were either first or second 6 or 7 times out of 10 years, which is pretty amazing. And they were the real power club. They won a premiership in the VFA in 1895. So they were one of the strong clubs going into the competition. And certainly in the first decade they were one of the real power clubs.
Up to your grandfather, it seems, Kay.
Yes, but not only that, he was captain for 20 years for the cricket. But in any case, my mother and father, in those days, football and cricket, they were on Saturday afternoon. And that's where Mum met Dad and so on after the war.
It was so important, and that's why it's carried through those generations, Kay. Were you a Fitzroy supporter?
No, I think, I don't know what happened, but Dad swapped to Carlton after the war. But in any case, I do have plaques and photos. I've got handmade cricket balls too. Cricket, is that mentioned at all at Fitzroy?
We haven't been speaking about the cricket club this afternoon, mainly about the demise of the Fitzroy Footy Club as it pertains to the AFL. Yeah. But great to hear from you. And, of course, as Russell just mentioned, you know, if you get sick of holding all that stuff, the Museum of Sport would love to get their hands on some of that, Kay. But great
and
to
also,
hear from you.
Also, Jacinta, there's a great Fitzroy display at Marvel Stadium, Eddie Head, as it used to be, thanks to Arthur Wilson. Arthur Wilson was a manager at the club, or secretary in the old days, and they've got a great area there at Marvel Stadium that preserves all the Fitzroy material, and it's well worth looking at. And Arthur does a great job. They have meetings of the Historical Society every 3 or 4 months. Not at the moment, of course, because of no meetings. But I've been to a few of those, and they're great. They have former players there, and they do a great job to keep the memory going.
That's great. Thank you. Thank you, Kay. So wonderful to get an opportunity to speak to you today.
Yes, and I'll get them over to the museum at the MCG.
Wonderful. That's been a great outcome. Good on you, Kay. Kay joining us, the granddaughter of Robert William Warne. Carol joins us this afternoon. Good afternoon, Carol.
Oh, good afternoon. I was at the same hotel I think the previous gentleman was talking about in Fitzroy for a 21st birthday party, and there was a photo on the wall of Eddie Goodger that played for Fitzroy, and I said to a friend that I was with, "Oh, I so remember that era." And I said, "I remember Eddie Goodger," and she told me that he's living in assisted living. And I had a photo here with all the autographs on the back of the photo of the Fitzroy footy team, and I posted it off to him with a letter, and he wrote back to me, and it was just terrific.
When was this, Carol, that you wrote to him?
This was just recently. I'm 81, so he'd be at least 10 years older than me, and he's still going.
And he wrote back, you've just recently been in touch. Carol, that's heartbreaking. Beautiful.
Yes, it's lovely. And it was so nice of him to take the time to write back. But I said he provided the Fitzroy footy team after the war. The football was huge. And I just think he, you know, the football teams played such a big part in people's lives.
Carol, that's brilliant. Wonderful to hear from you. Russell, were you familiar with his history?
Oh, yeah, Eddie Goodger was a very good player. And it's interesting, you know, we're saying about the tribal nature of it, and there was always a thing between Fitzroy and Collingwood, between the two suburbs, and there was and that extended beyond footy. That was Fitzroy had built their town hall earlier, and Collingwood had to build a town hall, and they wanted to make sure it was bigger than the Fitzroy town hall.
I think they succeeded too, didn't they?
And the Smith Street was the boundary between the two, and it was definitely, you know, one side or the other. You were a Fitzroy person or a Collingwood person, and because Fitzroy in the early days of Melbourne, if you go back right early in the piece, that was where the sort of middle class public servants and bank workers and so on lived. Collingwood was a tougher area, you know, and always felt that it had to sort of compete with Fitzroy, and that translated to the footy field, and that had a long history, and it went right through the years that there was stories of the Fitzroy team leaving the ground in their horse-drawn carriages and getting pelted with rocks from the Collingwood barracks.
We can laugh now, Russell. We're having a great time reminiscing about the Fitzroy Football Club. The Death of the Fitzroy Football Club is the book that Russell Homsby has put together. Homsby, sorry, I don't know what's wrong with me today. I've got a couple of people that I really want to hear from today as well, if you'll indulge us, Russell. Terry joins us. Terry, good afternoon to you.
G'day, Jacinta.
You have got a long and loving history with the club.
Well, I certainly do, yes. I started going when I was about 8 with my brother, who was 12 years... he would have been 12. I can remember the first day I went there, like as if it was yesterday. And I've never, ever left, really. And the whole family was involved. My cousin was Wally Clark, who was a fan favourite. Everybody loved Wally. And because of that, I was able to get into the rooms where other people couldn't get. Even as a young kid, I'd go in and listen to the fabulous Len Smith, who was just a wonderful coach. And, you know, all of the star players, I used to sneak out onto the ground at three-quarter time and clean their boots. So I can proudly say that these hands cleaned Butch Gale's boots out in the middle of Brunswick Street.
That's beautiful, Terry.
Well, Wally Clark played a big part in a famous piece of Fitzroy history. He was... he was the assistant coach, and he led the side when they played Geelong in the middle of 1963. And yep. Kevin Murray, the normal captain coach, was playing interstate for Victoria against WA, I think, at the time. And Fitzroy hadn't won a game. Geelong was a very strong side. Geelong ended up winning the premiership. But under Wally Clark's coaching, they knocked off Geelong in the biggest upset of all time, and Geelong complained about everything under the sun, but it was a famous bit of history. And of course, Kevin Murray came back, and they never won another game for the year. Poor old Kevin had been away when they'd won the only one.
Yeah, well, Wally got Brian Barclay, who was an ordinary sort of a player, but between the two of them, they worked out how they could negate Polly Farmer's influence, and they did.
Yeah,
and they did. It was a very wet day too.
Yeah, yeah.
Terry.
I was there.
Terry, it's so good to hear from you. I've got a really quick question for you, and I've got another call that I really want to take before we say goodbye to Russell. Were you able to convert? Were you able to move and become a Brisbane supporter?
I went through the pain and agony that most people did. I tried to pretend I had no interest, which I couldn't do. I tried to barrack for St Kilda.
You just can't, though. You can't.
Could not.
Can't do
it. I finally got on because of the... I think Brisbane have done as good a job as they could possibly do. But the difference is, whereas my mother used to go to the footy every week with at least three generations with her, with herself, sons, grandchildren, and sometimes four generations there'd be. And on the last day in Melbourne, Barry Dickens and Channel 9 followed the whole family for the whole day. They followed us at Mum's place in Preston, and then
have
on
you still
the
got that, Terry? Have you still got the footage?
Still got the footage.
Beauty!
Yeah,
what
yeah,
a beautiful yeah, thing yeah, to have.
Yeah, it is.
Ah, good. It's good. I can hear it through the phone, Terry. It's great to hear from you today.
Good on you.
Good on you, Russell. It is without a doubt more than footy.
Oh, it is. It's a big part of people's lives, and you only have to look at the moment how much people are missing football of any sort. This book sort of just emphasises that, how important it is in people's life. And I think that the AFL at the time, they missed the point that it damaged the fabric of the game, not just with Fitzroy barrackers, but it disillusioned a lot of other people. So
it was about trust then, wasn't it?
It was, and it was broken. And and that's the difference. And hopefully, other clubs will survive and no club will ever have to face that situation that Fitzroy did.
Val has held on. Val, thank you for waiting there.
I've had a great time because everyone that has spoken, I have memories similar. And I must have been at the football matches when they played because I was born in 1935. I went to my first football match when I was 6 weeks old. I don't remember it, but obviously because my dad grew up with Kazaly.
Oh, actually, the Kazaly.
The Kazaly. There were three of them. I can't mention one because the family would never, ever admit that he grew up in South Melbourne because he became a top world-class person. But Dad grew up with Kazaly and with Walter Lindrum. And Dad played cricket for South Melbourne. And I still have all of Dad's old medallions, which are solid gold, by the way.
Oh, Val.
And my son has them mounted on black velvet in a crystal cabinet. But I also have Doug Nicholls' book that he wrote, his biography. And just so, all the things that have been listening now. And this is what's been wrong with footy. We all grew up, and I'm talking about all the people you've had before me, we all grew up knowing the real football. Nowadays you barrack for a football club, but you've got no idea of the history of it.
It's interesting, isn't it, Val, because that's part of what this deep love is that we're talking about. Val, I want to ask you too, did you convert? Did you go with the team to Brisbane?
No.
No.
I became a Melbourne supporter through another part of my life. But I also would like people to know, especially people in the Wimmera, that Kazaly actually played and coached the football club at Minyip. And I don't think a lot of Wimmera people would know that.
There might need to be a plaque or something, Val.
No, there isn't.
No.
There's lots of information.
That's definitely right. He definitely did.
Good on you, Val.
Okay, thank you.
It's been a pleasure to talk to you today. What great memories. And thank you so much for holding through everything. Val there. Russell, you have absolutely started something that I we'll have to finish at some point. The book is called The Death of the Fitzroy Football Club. And as I said, it's an incredible oral history where you have gone to every corner of this story to have it told.
Thanks, Jacinta. It's been a lot of fun today.
It's been a heap of fun. Thank you very much for joining us. We'll have to get you back on because footy history is what you do. And if we can't have the real thing right now, then history maybe is where we have to go.
That's right. Been great.
Thank you. Russell Holmesby is the author of the book that we've been talking about this afternoon.
On ABC Radio Melbourne and Victoria, this is Jacinta Parsons.